This morning we're going to be thinking about the reality of hell. You know, there are many in the world who deny the reality of an eternal hell. Atheists, obviously, who also deny heaven and the existence of God. Jehovah's Witnesses, Christadelphians, Seventh-day Adventists, and others in the religious world today deny the reality of eternal punishment. A recent survey shows that 74% of Americans believe in heaven, while only 59% believe in eternal hell. I believe even many mainstream denominations are in danger of one day denying the reality of hell. Kurt Sellis, director of the Global Center at Samford University's Deason Divinity School, led two workshops to discuss whatever happened to hell. He asked how many of the pastors had ever preached a sermon on hell. Nobody had, he said. One of them said, "It's out of fear will not appear relevant." He went on to say, "It's pressure from the culture to not speak anything negative. I think we've begun to deny hell. There's an assumption that everybody's going to make it to heaven somehow." Because of a lack of preaching on the subject, coupled with false teaching and the ever more popular mistaken idea many have that a loving God could never send someone to an eternal lake of fire, many are beginning to downplay the horrors and even deny the reality of hell. In the Bible, I want us to notice three things very quickly. Number one, it is very clear that hell is affirmed. Hell is affirmed. In Psalm 9:17, the psalmist said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The Bible affirms that hell is real and that the wicked will be cast there. The Lord Jesus affirmed the reality of hell on many occasions. In fact, if you read through the four Gospels and keep a log, you'll find that he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven during his earthly ministry. Matthew 25, verse 41, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" In verse 46, he said, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." In the Greek, the word for everlasting is the same as the word for eternal in this passage. So not only is hell as real as heaven, but it will last just as long. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, the Lord said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right eye causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Over in Matthew 13, verses 49 and 50, the Lord said, "So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." The Apostle Paul affirmed the reality of hell in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9, when he drew the picture of the Lord Jesus returning from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." What's more, the Apostle John affirmed the reality of hell. In Revelation 20, verse 14, the Bible says, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." It exists. It exists. This is the second death. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I read an article online about a man who said what I would have to do in order to deny eternal hell. He said, "I would deny what Jesus taught. I will deny the plain sense of Scripture, and I will deny the gospel." A man named Robert Dabney once said, "Sure I am that if hell can be disproved in any way that is solid and true and consistent with God's honor and man's good, there is not a trembling sinner in this land that would hail the demonstration with more joy than I would. God has made eternal a punishment for sin, and it stands as a great deterrent to sin. If you remove the truth about the reality of hell, you remove much fear from the mind of the sinner. Jesus and his apostles taught so much about hell for a reason. He wanted men to be warned about what was coming, should they not obey him. Annihilation can easily be accepted by most. What sinner would not rejoice at the idea that there is no eternal hell? I'm sorry, but those who deny it are wrong, regardless of how offensive, how horrible, how distasteful, how unpleasant the thought is. Eternal punishment in hell is a reality. In the Bible, it is very clear that hell is affirmed. Number two, it is very clear that hell is agony. What will hell be like for the sinner? There are many misconceptions expressed about hell. For example, you might sometimes hear someone, in referring to a certain experience they have been through, say it was hell on earth. The Bible says nothing about hell being on earth. Such a statement diminishes the horrors of hell. You may pass through some difficult and painful times in this life, but I can assure you, as we'll see in a few moments, those hard times will seem like a trip to the circus compared to hell. Others speak of hell as if it were a big party with all their buddies. They speak of wanting to go there and to be with their partying friends. Hell to them is like going drinking at the lake. But the Bible says it will be a lake of fire. And in that place they will be drinking, but from the cup of the full wrath of God. Some speak of hell as annihilation. A sinner will be cast into fire, and there will be agony, but it will be only for a moment until they burn up and die. But the Bible is clear that hell, that lake of fire, the sinner will exist for eternity in any punishment. Matthew 25, verse 4. 46. Again, these will go away into everlasting punishment. Again, the word for everlasting and eternal were the same in the Greek. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9, especially in verse 9, where Paul said that they would suffer everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In Mark 9, 43 to 48, the Lord Jesus talked about the fact that the worm does not die there. The soul goes on existing forever and ever in eternal flames, that furnace of fire. There are some who think that Satan is in control of hell, and if they'll serve him here, then maybe he'll turn the thermostat down for them in hell, or that he'll even grant them some sort of ruling power over hell. The fact is, Satan will have no control in hell. God is in control of the thermostat, and Satan will be right there in hell with you, suffering the same thing you're suffering. The Bible speaks of Satan as being in hell. It even speaks of hell being prepared for the devil and his angels. But it nowhere speaks of him having some sort of control of the agony there. The Lord said the place was made for the devil and his angels, but it is God who metes out the punishment, not Satan. Regardless of all the false conceptions out there, hell is real. It will be for an eternity, and it will be agony, my friends. Mark 9:44 speaks of the fire that is not quenched. Matthew 8:12 speaks of the darkness there, along with the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Of all the wonderful, beautiful, comforting things said in the Bible, there's not one, not even one, good, pleasant, comforting word to say about this place called hell. Not one hint of anything is said that might bring to one's mind the thought that hell may really be bearable after all, and that the pleasures of sin are worth it. In the Bible, it is very clear that hell is affirmed. It is very clear that hell is agony. And it is very clear that hell is avoidable. So how does one escape the eternal agony of hell? How does one avoid the lake of fire? How does one defeat the prospect of that everlasting furnace? Being the loving God that he is, God has done his part in making available a way for man to not only escape hell, but to live in everlasting bliss in heaven. Romans 6:33, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death here is really the second death, that eternal separation from God in eternal punishment. This is the wages for our sin. The gift here speaks of grace, the free gift. It's the free gift God gave us in Jesus Christ on the cross. God the Father gave His Son for our sins. God the Son went to the cruel cross of Calvary in our stead. And God the Holy Spirit revealed all of this in the Bible, along with what we must do in order to benefit from what God has already done. So what does the Bible reveal that we must do to escape eternal punishment? Does it in fact say that we must do something? clearly. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In Hebrews 5:8-9, talking about the Lord Jesus himself, it says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." 2 Thessalonians 1:8, again, "Everlasting punishment is for those who do not know God and for those who do not obey the gospel," implying that those who do obey the gospel can escape this everlasting punishment. How do we obey? God has done his part. What is our part in God's plan of salvation? The Bible spells it out very clearly. It begins by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must then believe what you've heard. In John 8:24, the Lord said, "Unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. Then we must repent of our sins. Acts 2:38. They had heard when Peter preached to them. They believed because their hearts were cut, and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." After hearing, believing, repenting of sin, we must be willing to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10. "With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." After doing all these things, we must then obey the gospel through baptism. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Can we be saved without washing away our sins? Can we be saved without calling on the name of the Lord? This verse tells us how to do both. Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. No wonder the Lord said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Now this is where it begins. This is how we become sons of God, Galatians 3:27. But to maintain our hope of eternal life, we must continue to serve the Lord faithfully. Hebrews 2:1, we have to make that diligent effort to remain faithful to the Lord. Revelation 2:10, the Lord himself said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The crown of life. In the Bible, we are warned against falling, 1 Corinthians 10:11-12. We're told what to do when we do fall away, Acts 8:22. And we're told what to do to keep from falling away, 2 Peter 1:5-11. Now, why tell us all of this if it is impossible to fall away from the Lord? Some teach that once you become a Christian, you can never so sin as to lose your salvation. You can never so sin as to have your soul placed once again in jeopardy of being cast into the eternal lake of fire. But the Bible says otherwise. Brethren, when we become children of God, when we become Christians, we must continue to walk faithfully in the Lord. We must continue to serve him faithfully according to his blessed gospel, according to the commands and the promises that he has made, if we want to finally have that eternal life in heaven one of these days. In eternity, there is a lake of fire. And because of my sins, I'm facing headlong in its direction. But there's a cross there, and Jesus is on it. And he's bidding me come to him and escape the fate of eternal flames of fire. Obey the gospel of Jesus, our Lord. I must obey him. And not only will I escape hell, but I'll have the prospect of eternal heaven and eternal bliss. In the Bible, it is very clear that hell is affirmed. Hell is agony, and hell is avoidable. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We invite you to tune in. You can also listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. There's much other Bible study material on that site. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You would be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street. That's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. We want to thank you again for listening to our radio program. We've just begun this program, and we hope to have a long track here with you, and we pray that you would continue to tune in. If you have any questions whatsoever about anything that we believe and teach and practice, please visit our website. You'll find my email address there, mpickford3@comcast.net. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.